This episode of the Meme Factory podcast is sponsored by Simply Bitcoin. This is a Bitcoin-only daily show. Check them out at youtube.com/simplybitcoin. And we are sponsored by CryptoCloaks. CryptoCloaks strives for quality products and innovative solutions for your Bitcoin signing devices and Bitcoin nodes. Check out the Yellow Edition MK4 cold card case at CryptoCloaks.com. Enjoy the show.
What? It's getting hard to breathe.
Remember that shit.
That's what she said?
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in. You made it to another episode of the Meme Factory Stream Test. This evening, we are joined by Dennis Zett of 58K fame. Dennis, say hi.
Hey, guys.
All right.
Hi.
Yeah, guys, I gotta interrupt here. We are at 61,500.
Sorry, Dennis. You gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta go, Dennis. Sorry. It's gotcha. Over.
See ya.
Okay. Bye, dude.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave. That was it.
He's been removed.
Okay.
All right. Here comes.
That was brief.
That was brief. Hey, here's our real
Yay!
Guest.
Yay!
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in. You made it to another episode of the Meme Factory Stream Test. This is episode number 119, and this evening we are joined by Lena Saicha. And Lena is of Little Hodler fame. Lena, can you say hi to everybody and introduce yourself?
I'm a Little Hodler fan. I am a Little Hodler fan. Yeah. You said something else, right? But I am.
Would you give our viewers and listeners a brief introduction about who you are and what you do in the Bitcoin space?
Yes, I'm Lena. I am a Little Hodler fan and creator. So I created the Little Hodler. I make Bitcoin comics. I started doing those 2020, actually. But back then, I still made them with PowerPoint, so very, very raw and like very ugly. And then in 2021, I switched to actually drawing them myself. And then I started making plushies. And then I launched a store. And since then, my entire thing has been drawing cute comics and selling cute plushies and making cuddly Bitcoin content. And that's what I do.
Fantastic. So, Lena, I don't know if you've ever seen the show before. We have one idiosyncrasy here that we need to get paid on. So our sponsors require us to have the guest read the ad copy. I've sent it to you in your DMs. So if you could go ahead and pull that up and read through it, we can go ahead and get paid. You don't get paid. We do. But it's your job.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I just had it and now I clicked it away. Good job. I haven't read it before because he said I don't have to read it before.
Exactly.
So I should sell it, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
You spelled my name wrong.
All right.
You spelled my first name wrong, not my last name. That's
it was actually the writers of Susquehanna. Don't blame Greg for this one.
Greg, how do you make a mistake in four letters? Really?
I mean, I've made worse mistakes. It's far easier, and you all know this.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Lena Saicha, and this episode of the Meme Factory Stream Test is brought to you by my new product, introducing the Giant Hodler. Picture this, a colossal black enigmatic figure looming in the corner of your room, its silhouette shaped like a giant dark rock. It promises to safeguard your Bitcoin, but beware, the Giant Hodler has a mind of its own. Whispering sweet promises of security, it draws your digital treasure closer, only to hoard it for itself, whilst charging your exorbitant extortionist fees. This plushy-looking guardian with a penchant? English is my second language. For the precious isn't just here to protect, it's plotting to become the wealthiest hodler in the world. So keep an eye on your assets and maybe sleep with one eye open. The giant hodler, where your Bitcoin goes to grow. Or so you thought.
Well,
yeah. Yay!
All right.
Giant hodler.
That's good.
All right, so we're going to pass this on over to Becca, who has hopefully provided a menu for this evening so you don't go hungry.
Yeah, Lena, I have a sandwich menu for you. So I got a few sandwiches for you to choose from. Let's see. Okay, our first one is the 64K Sammy Special. So with this one, take your taste buds higher, taste the escape of the bear market with this 100% pure beef, bull beef sandwich. And our second one, Yellow helped me out with this one. It's a Cringe Creed. It's a 90s throwback sandwich that's going to give men blindness and Peter Schiff golden streets. If you know the song, you know. And last but not least, we have Yellow's Don't Stop Believing Steak Sammy, which has been marinated in Red Bull for 843 days. And Yellow's got his super cool Gucci slippers on and his Starbucks because he's decided to become a Creed Maxi. So yeah, these are your specials I've prepared for you today.
Very sweet. I'd love to support Yellow, but I hate Red Bull. I think that stinks, that stuff. Like, no offense, but like, oh my god, I don't know how you can. Anyway, I'll take the one that makes you high, like the 64K. Did we go?
Yeah, 64K? Good choice. Good choice.
We did.
Yeah,
we did. Yes.
I missed that. Oh my god.
Can we take a quick moment and let you lambast Yellow for drinking Red Bull and why the reasons he shouldn't be doing that?
Because it stinks and it makes you stink too.
Exactly.
Oh, stinky puppet.
I mean, he's already Greek. Like, how much stinkier do you need to be?
Yeah, you can improve it for me.
Oh, garlic and Red Bull.
Yeah.
No, garlic
delicious.
Is
fine.
Yeah. The
nectar of the gods.
The cats or the gods?
The cats.
Both.
All right, so point of process here before we get going on any of this. We've dabbled in the plushie game, and the results have been mixed. So I want to know how you built a market for the little hodler. And are men buying these things, or are the invisible women in Bitcoin buying these things?
She's capable.
I did not plan this at all. If I had made a business plan, I would have not made the business. Because it sounds like a very stupid idea to make plushies in this industry. I did not think about it. I made a plushie for myself, actually, back in 2021. And then I posted it. And then I started getting messages from people saying, I want to buy this. And then I started making it into a business. So I didn't think about it at all. But the people who buy these things are actually, I know tendencies, right? I don't like track who buys it, but we get a lot of requests from like girls who want to buy something for their Bitcoin or boyfriend. And they're like, I want to buy him something, but I don't know how the technical stuff works. So I want to get him a plushie. Get a lot of parents. We have a lot of dog owners. So dogs get a lot of dogs have a hodler. And we have a lot of, grown men who love buying plushies from me. And
I know what you mean.
I don't judge.
Rope, you do your own things with that plushie.
Well, I mean, no, never mind. Go ahead.
Before the plushies, of course, everything started with the comic strips, right? And they were very, very popular. I enjoyed them a lot. Like very, very smart. Like how that came to be? What sparked that idea?
The fact that I like I was too cowardly for Bitcoin Twitter. Like I was on Bitcoin Twitter I was already there and I was trying to play the Bitcoin Twitter game where you post these like somewhat controversial, very bullish Bitcoin tweets. And I did that for a while. It actually worked all right. But the thing is, you get like mean people in the comments, and I didn't want that. So I would post something, and then I would turn off my notifications for a day because I was scared that people would be mean. And so at some point, I was, that was then in 2020, that was around, it was July. It was after the halving, and in the price was like 9,000-ish. And we had that over 9,000 meme, just like for months straight, over 9,000. And we knew, everybody knew, right? It was going to go to 10K. And we just didn't know when. We knew it was just a matter of time. And I had a comic idea for that. That just randomly. I don't know why. Like, I was like, oh, that would make a good comic. And then I made a comic with PowerPoint. And I left it for like half a day. And then I just posted it. It was, I don't know where that came from. I just kind of did it. And then it became my most liked tweet at the time, and then from there I like thought like, okay, maybe there's something there. But the thing is that because it was so random and it just kind of occurred to me, it felt like a one-trick pony, like it was a one-off thing. I was like, okay, like I'm never gonna think of another comic again. And I didn't for like half a year, and then I made another one and it went equally viral, and then I didn't for an
Really?
Oh no. Oh,
great.
Well, that's the El Salvador internet.
Oh, was it me?
All right, so you made the second comic, it went viral,
Then I didn't make another comic for another like 4 months or so. And then I was in quarantine in Taiwan. And at the time, there was the like 2021. So I was in a quarantine hotel in Taiwan. They had very, very strict quarantine where they basically locked you up in a room for 15 days and they track your, like GPS tracked you and everything. So it was very like, I was just in that room. They call you 3 times a day. The police calls you to make sure you didn't leave and leave your phone at home. The hotel calls you 3 times a day to get your temperature, like that kind of stuff. So I was just sitting there, and I was so bored that I then started just drawing. And then I made my first official comic, which is the one that's probably the most well-known because it's the one with the citadel at the end where the little hodler has all Bitcoin. Yeah. And I made that. And then that one went very viral, like for my level. And then from there, just like at that point, I sat down and just started thinking of comics and I kept making them. And then a couple months later, made the plushie. And then from there, it started as a hobby, and I didn't think I could even come up with more comics. But then in time, I think the more you do something, the more you get used to doing it too. And so it's like, maybe if you're a photographer, you start seeing nice pictures everywhere. So for me, I see comics everywhere and hodlers. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it happened. Yeah, very organic.
My favorite one is the one that like... it's like the first picture is like, that's a scam, a Ponzi. And then the second picture, more people have Bitcoin. And it's like, oh, it's a pyramid scheme. It won't get any traction. And then El Salvador, like the first, more people have Bitcoin. And like not another country is going to use that. And then the whole planet is like the fucking thing. And only in this planet we're going to use it, not in other planets. That's my favorite.
That's one of my favorites too. You know, that got me the presidential follow.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, nice. That was the one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have like a notepad with you? Like how do you write? Like, so because the whole, it's like 4 or 5 pictures, and in 4 or 5 pictures you put a lot of like little anecdotes we say and do as Bitcoiners, and like it's very congested, is the right word? I don't, yeah, I think. And it's like,
No, never mind.
Okay. Do you have like a notepad, and whenever you have like a good idea or you hear something funny, you write it down and you translate it to comics? Or how do you do it?
Yes, exactly. I have my notes app on my iPad and I write the comics down.
Nice.
Nobody would get it. Nobody would understand because I write down like words and sentences and very random things so that I understand it, but nobody else will get it. which is why I can't give it to anybody. If it's like, if I give that to somebody and say, draw this for me, they'll be like, what the hell? Like, so that's how I do it. So sometimes it happens randomly. And sometimes it's just like something stupid happens and I just immediately just go and draw the thing. But that's how it goes. Sometimes you need to, sometimes I draw and redraw and redraw and redraw, and sometimes it's just like happens in one go. Sometimes I draw it and then I don't publish it. The difficult thing is making it simple. And sometimes it works in your head. Then you put it into a comic and it's really weird and lame. So yeah, but generally it's just my experiences as a Bitcoiner, or my experiences also with the no coiners. Like sometimes the blue guy, for example, is my brother. He's not a Bitcoiner, so he's not going to watch this. So I can say it. He's a no coiner. I have failed. But yeah, so it's like just these kinds of experiences.
One of the things I like most about your Bitcoin story is how this wasn't the plan, right? So like the plan was originally, and I'll let you give the rundown of this, was going to like Japan, and then you spend another 10 years going to like completely different countries every year. Can you walk us through what happened and like what are the breadcrumbs that led you to Little Hodler in El Salvador?
Well, I did go to Japan, so I did do that. I just didn't end up staying. I had lots of plans. Bitcoin was not my plan because I didn't know it existed back then. But like from age 12 or so, when I was 12, I decided I want to go to Japan. I want to live there. I was like really, so you know, I'm German. In Germany, back in the day, we had a
TV. They've always been friends, Japan and Germany.
Yes, that is not why I was a fan, but cool. So we had a TV channel that would play anime in the afternoons. So it would always show like Pokemon and Dragon Ball and Naruto and One Piece and all that stuff, like all the shows, and I would watch them with my brother. So actually everybody in like my age group in Germany has some kind of connection with anime, that everybody, but most of us, because we grew up on it. So most of us, like, they grow out of it. I did grow out of the anime, but I really grew into the whole Japanese culture thing. I was so into it. I started learning Japanese, and I was like, I'm gonna, like, the moment I'm 18, I'm out of here. So I turned 18 and I went to Japan, and I did like work and travel. I was flipping pancakes in a Hawaiian restaurant in like a Japanese little resort town. And then from that point onwards, I started traveling through Asia mostly. So I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia, East Asia. That was like the better part of the last 10 years. The thing is, it wasn't planned. And I probably didn't really plan anything too well, which is why it happened as it happened. I just kind of went with the flow. I still do that, actually. So I kind of took things as they came. So I would take jobs here and there. And that's also how I got into Bitcoin, because I started working for like shitcoin projects, because I was just doing like social media, public relations, stuff like that. And
what shitcoin projects were you involved with?
I don't remember.
Fair enough.
I will take the fifth.
You what?
No, that's what they say in movies. Like, I will take the fifth. I don't know what it means.
But because of that, I started like going to conferences and meetups. And most of them were like blockchain events where people go to shill each other their coins, which was very empty. But you know, I did a lot of traveling through it, and then through that, I got into Bitcoin, because at some point when you go to these conferences, eventually you're going to meet a Bitcoiner who like tells you, look, this is the way. So I started reading some books. Like the first book was The Internet of Money that I read. Very easy read. After that, Bitcoin Standard, very hard read. And then through that, I got into Bitcoin. And I was just going around the world basically, and I still kind of do that, except now I'm sort of voluntarily stranded, because I feel like now I found a good place. But for the last 10 years, I was in Malaysia, Philippines, Japan, Taiwan, Turkey, and then some other places, and some of them were nice, but yeah,
Now, is Turkey the first place you made an El Salvadoran connection? Isn't that where you ran into Bukele?
Oh, yeah. I ran into Bukele. Yeah, he was going on a state visit to Turkey beginning of 2022. He was doing a state visit to Turkey. He was going to meet Erdogan. Everybody was like, oh my God, he's going to orange pill Erdogan. Everyone's going to like, what? Why? No, of course not. Why would we do that? Like, Turkey is a huge market for Bitcoin, but the Turkish government is not huge on Bitcoin. But yeah, anyway, so he was coming for a state visit and he somehow knew that I was in Turkey. So he texted me, like, I want a hodler. I'm coming. Can I get a hodler? So I said, yeah, you can get a hodler. So I got invited to like, one of those like things that they did, and it wasn't a boat actually, so I gave him the hodler on the boat. No, that's where I made my Salvadoran connection. Yeah.
Now, so we've gone all the way from the Pacific Rim out into the Mediterranean. How do you make it to El Salvador at this point?
On a plane.
I hate you. Okay.
So I first met Bukele in 2022, January, that was. So that was when I was like, okay, like I want to see that country. And also because they had Bitcoin legal tender and so on and so forth. Then it just got delayed. They had some incidents. Obviously, they had some issues. I think March 2022, some stuff went down there. And then my friends were like, okay, let's wait a little before we go. And then it kind of faded. And nobody remembered, but I like still really wanted to go. I just couldn't, like, I didn't want to go alone. And eventually this last year, oh God, I'm mixing up all the years. Last year, then I said, okay, I'm just going anyway. So mid of last year, I just decided I'm going to go. I had no occasion whatsoever. I just said, I'm like, if I don't go now, then maybe I'll never go. And so I just came here and came for a week. And I actually, I met Bukele again because I made him a hodler, which is the one back here. And I gave him that one. And now he has two hodlers. And so, yeah, then I saw, like, I went around El Salvador a bit. I did have some, like, I did know a few people who would then help me out around here, which was really great. It's actually crazy how hospitable people are here. So, I mean, I've been around, like, I've seen a lot of countries and I've seen a lot of places and people are helpful, right? But here, people are proud. People are like they try so hard to show you their country, like, just because it's a new experience that they can be this proud being Salvadoran, which is actually amazing. So when I think of like going to Germany, for example, in Germany, we're not that proud to be German.
Don't you go to jail? We are raised to be too proud these days.
Yes, we do. So we are raised to not be. Germany is a bad example, but we are literally raised to not be proud of our country. But it's. I just love to see it here. How they're.
I'm curious. You said that one of the characters is your brother. I'm guessing the little hodler is you. We've got Bukele. Are there any other people in your life that have become characters in the comic?
Well, the little hodler is not me. He's probably like a reflection of my inner whatever he is. Yeah, but I didn't make him as like, oh, that's me. Yeah, but probably the no-coiner is my brother. Like, most of the time. It's either my brother or Peter Schiff. And yeah, Bukele is Bukele, and then the others are just characters. Yeah, they just kind of happen. Actually, most of the characters, they just came into existence because I needed them. So I didn't. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, I would make a comic, and I'm like, oh, I need this guy, so I made him. So I didn't, you know, when you write a book, for example, you like flesh out the character design and everything. I never did that, and it just kind of sort of happened. And then they started getting their own little personalities, like the little, for example, I have a little printer here in the background. Little printer randomly became one of the most popular characters because I just made him this little guy who's just like doing his job, but he's being enslaved by the Fed, so you have to rescue him. And that that really worked. And now I've made people sympathize with the money printer, which I'm a little proud of that. Yeah. But...
All right. So the printer, your dad, your mom.
Well, they're all no-coiners, so they're like all.
They're all no-coiners.
I am really bad at, like, my entire family is no-coiners. My aunt is a Bitcoiner. I unknowingly orange-pilled my aunt, but like years ago, I found out randomly that she like reads my comics, and that was great. So she'd tell my dad, like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" But he's like, "Ah," but he's very German, you know, which is great. But
this is a bit of an aside. But
I'm in the site now, and you have a little printer. I fucking love that.
Of course. You need to save him. If you go to his page, you see that I saved him from the
That's so well done. God damn it. Can we get one? No.
Feel free to share your screen, Yellow. Let me see what you're seeing.
No. Go to the site, thelittlehodl.com. That is like a plassy little printer.
In the show notes, scroll down, you'll see the link.
Yeah.
All right. So I found out something recently about German mortgages that was weird. Is it true that in order to be approved for a mortgage in Germany, you have to do the credit application and then you have to like make payments on a mortgage without actually moving into the house for years?
I don't buy houses in Germany. I wouldn't know. I know actually a lot of people who want to buy a house because they're like, it's about time. I am in my 30s and it is time to buy a house. But, you know, this is like times change. We live in the final stage of our fiat currencies. So you cannot buy houses anymore. So actually what's happening in Germany and everywhere else, but also in Germany, is that houses are getting so expensive that you can't even, like, it's not reasonably affordable, even with people being okay with the fact that they're going to be in debt for the rest of their lives, because it's been so indoctrinated that it's just normal. Even then, it's insane that they would be asked to spend €1 million on a house, for example, or on an apartment, depending on where you live. It's crazy. And you lose touch with the numbers and how much that is. So I know a lot of people who wanted to buy, but they just didn't. They couldn't find a good place. And actually in Germany, the housing market is so, so bad that you, like, even if you are willing to pay crazy prices, oftentimes you will not get anything. I don't know how the mortgages are because I don't care, because I buy other things. But I wouldn't be surprised, but I can't make an educated comment here.
Fair enough.
I'll just chime in. From what I know, like, if you're applying for a mortgage, like, you also need to prove that you have a pension, because the mortgage terms are so long there. Like, they need to know that even once you retire, that there's still money coming in to be able to cover the mortgages. And on top of that, you can't sell your home for 10 years. So it's not like a, you know, how you buy and flip homes like here in North America, that's so common. Like over there, it's you buy and you're forced to hold for 10 years. You can't sell it. There's no way for you to get out of it. So it's really, yeah, there's a lot of controls on the housing market over there.
There's a shitcoin joke in there somewhere. You can't sell it. You're just... You're staking your real estate.
Well, yeah, the thing is also, if you want to buy a real estate, like, you want to be confident in the future of that country, right? The very scary thing, and that happens so, so quickly, and I am utterly terrified by it, is that just like a couple of years ago, before the pandemic, Germans specifically would feel very settled and secure and comfortable, and very trusting of the government, still way too trusting of the government, but very like, yeah, inflation, yeah, 2% or whatever, and like high inflation as elsewhere. Then we started getting acquainted with inflation, still not as bad as elsewhere, but really bad for Germans. Well, they forgot their history already, but really bad for recent Germans. And now things are moving so fast that there's, I think you can, by now you can measure it, the Germans are actively worried about war, actively worried about the future of the country, and the ones who can afford it, many of them, they're leaving, they're trying to go elsewhere. And I also know a lot of Bitcoiners who either have left or want to leave. And a lot of them also say, they used to say, let's go to Switzerland because it's like Germany, but better, which is probably true. Even like now, a lot of them are saying, okay, if you want out of the danger zone, you need to leave the European continent. So that is, you know, that is just what I'm hearing from a lot of people. First, it would be like here and there sporadically, but lately it's so, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just the sentiment is changing. People are losing a lot of trust in that part of the world.
What are they worried about? A war breaking out between NATO and Russia or something?
Probably Russia, and also just internally. So we have like very divided politics throughout Europe, and it's very, it's crazy. Like basically everything has moved into two corners, and you see that very strongly. And now we're on, like, for example, right now, a lot of countries in Europe have very like sort of left-wing governments, and they're now being swapped out for right-wing governments. The thing is that what's happening is it's getting more and more extreme. So there's the same tendency we have in Germany right now. It's very scary to watch. So I think that too is like, there's a lot of tension there, and you can also see it in the cities. There's everything's going downhill. Like, and it, so I haven't lived in Germany for 10 years, right? So every time I go back, it's like, what the hell happened here? It's like, yeah, you say like, oh, everything used to be better when I was a kid, and that's like what everybody says, but that's nostalgia. What's happening right now is different. It's the demise of something. And you know, you sound dramatic when you say it, but it's, you can see it. So,
well, I mean, there's
that's why we create.
One of my favorite things that's come out of these farmers protests is that they keep showing up at the protests and just spraying police and police vehicles with fertilizer. I've enjoyed every one of those videos. They're fantastic.
It's like pretty much your strategy for posting memes, Greg.
Exactly. All right, so we talked about the decline of some European countries. Where are you excited for the future? What countries do you think are on an upswing?
Canada.
Is that the answer?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
Let's transition to El Salvador.
Yeah,
I want to hear more about El Salvador. I can't wait to see the country.
Before we do El Salvador, can I ask you a quick question? I was doing some research before the pod, hopped on your YouTube channel. You have one video.
Oh, yeah. I am so undisciplined. Yeah, I should, like, upload.
The video is fantastic. It's a Justin Timberlake cover where you're playing piano and singing. But
yeah.
What song? What song?
Why one video and why that one?
I had, like, three, and then I forgot to upload them. And then I moved, and now I'm like, you see, now I have a very epic piano. So now I'm like, okay, like I'm going to do this more. But now I feel like if I'm going to do it, I want to do my own things. So I, like, for the last couple of months, I was like, okay, I'm going to write some songs. So I would write a song, and then the next day I wouldn't like it anymore. And that's why, like, every time I'm like, oh, I should revive that channel and upload some stuff, never happens. It's so bad. It's in part the lack of discipline, but it's also in part just like, I think it's an artist thing. Like, artists are always weird about everything. So it's probably that. But thank you. Yeah, I will. Mark my words.
Excellent.
Okay, can I ask a question now? Oh, Rusty. God damn it. Rusty's here.
Oh, Rusty.
Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning, everyone.
Rusty. Good morning,
Rusty. Yeah, good afternoon, sorry. It's 12:03 here. Good afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah, My wife corrected me.
My bad. A question I had is El Salvador. How easy was to settle down there? How very what's easy. Your like? Huh?
Yeah, very easy. Surprisingly easy. So now I've done the process a couple times in different places, which is actually not very smart because you spend a lot of time on doing that and then you leave. Like, but anyway, that's what happens when you don't plan. Here, it's very easy. So they make it really easy for you to get residence permit. They have lots of ways to do it. You can also get the $1 million passport, but there's also other ways. And then in general, everything's very accessible and everything's very easy to figure out. And I see very little bureaucracy here, which is great. So just technically the act of settling down here is very simple. The very good thing here is also that you have a huge Bitcoin community. So you have meetups all the time. There's a meetup going on right now. There's one tomorrow. They have, like, I think every Tuesday there's something. Then they have something down at Bitcoin Beach, and they have something up in Berlin. And it's the stuff going on everywhere all the time. So it's very easy for you to find a community, because that's one of the harder things if you're a moving country, that you're alone and you have to find your people somewhere. So your people are already here. That's really, really great. And then the food is amazing. Nature is amazing. I have a volcano view from my window.
Wait, what?
Back to volcano. Volcano got her.
That sounds dangerous.
I also have very bad internet, apparently.
Volcano outside your house.
Yeah.
Do you have barriers for lava and stuff? Stop
yeah, you go outside and do it like
fence,
a
fence. Defense of the volcano.
Like a barbecue?
Like fire.
The thing with the volcanoes here, don't let me lie, but that volcano is technically active, but for a volcano to be labeled inactive, I think it has to be inactive for 10,000 years or something crazy like that. So technically, yeah.
So there's a guy up there, like with a clock or something.
Yes, that's how it works.
Yeah, geologist goes and sits on top of the volcano with a clock.
Yeah,
10,000 years. Wow.
I mean, it's multiple geologists.
I didn't know that.
It's not one. For 10,000 years.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So, how are you attempting to orange pill the entire populace
of El Salvador?
Yeah.
Or of the world?
Pick one.
Oh, plushies. No, but you know the thing here is that you have a lot going on.
Lena, I'm gonna have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Rusty raised his hand. we have to get to him. Go ahead, Rusty.
Yeah. Obviously triggered. You said plushies. And it does bring up a little bit of a situation here for us, because obviously we're in the business of plushies as well. And you probably have already talked about this.
Absolutely the plushies. Okay.
No, this is what happens works, sir.
I know. You probably already talked about it, but how did you ask the question, how much did the yellow plushie disrupt your business? Is that...
did not ask that.
What? Why are you laughing?
We can be friends.
Damn it, Razzy.
The yellow plushie, little huddle plushie can be friends. Please.
Okay, someone clip that.
Same
there's team. A lot, there's like a... Because there's a lot more little hodlers out there than there are yellow plushies.
For now.
And so, you know, if we were able to capture some of that market.
Actually,
you know,
Rusty, I'm a little bit bad.
Excuse me.
I'm a little bit mad with you, Rusty. Did you know he's doing like a small, a little printer now? Have you seen that?
A little, what? What is it?
A plastic printer.
Money printer.
Yeah, money printer. Why didn't you think of that, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get one of those little printers and a little hodler for my baby.
Look at that thing. Look how cute it is.
Been doing this
so
a little
cute.
Bit longer than us.
So all fucking right. Cute. I want a rescue.
Oh, it's so epic.
Rusty, do you have a follow-up question, or do you just forget to put your hand up?
You know, I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, just in case.
I feel threatened.
I appreciate you asking that. Yeah. I'll put my hand down in a second.
All right, sorry. So Rusty interrupted you talking about how you were orange-pilling the world in El Salvador at large. If you want to continue, we'd love to hear how.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I'm doing some stuff here, but I'm not allowed to say it yet, which sucks. But I'm doing something really cool here. So just remember that when it happens.
Yeah, like, me too. Oh, that was me too. Cool I'm doing thing. Something really cool. Can't tell anybody about it right now.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
It's fantastic.
Wow. So cool. So I'm doing a different cool thing than you, probably. Otherwise, that'd be interesting. But so I'm doing something really cool. But aside from that, there's a lot of stuff happening here, a lot of projects and a lot of initiatives that actually I only took notice, like properly took notice of when I came here, which is unfortunate, but I think it probably takes some time for this to reach beyond country borders. But there's so much going on. There's education, obviously, for the kids, for the teenagers, even for adults. And then they have like they did some like developer level education. They're teaching the teachers, and then you have all these little circular economies here. So El Salvador is perfectly primed for the bull market that's coming. You know, we haven't seen El Salvador in a bull market. El Salvador adopted Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin tanked, and then basically everybody just laughed at El Salvador for 2 years. Like, oh, look at that, the Bitcoin gamble failed. Ha ha ha. And now obviously they're silent. But I am very interested to see how that will go, because people have access here and people have the advantage that the stigma around Bitcoin is not as strong here anymore as it would be in other places. So here it's legitimized, obviously, from official side, which helps. It's still people still are a bit skeptical. So there's still some, like, there's still a little bit of an obstacle there, but it's way less than in other places. I'm actually really excited to see how that goes. Then there's, you know, around the halving, there's going to be some really cool stuff happening here, which is cool. A lot of people are going to come here. And I think it's going to be at the beach or something, which is really epic. So, yeah. And a lot of Bitcoin businesses are coming here, including mine, right? So if Bitcoin businesses want to go to Bitcoin country supports the Bitcoin businesses. And like 10 years down the line, the rest of the world is going to be like, oh, yeah, that was really smart. God damn it. So.
You know, that's really interesting. I want to see what Pedro's thoughts on that are. Pedro, could you chime in about what you think about what Lena's saying here?
It'd be really funny if one day he actually just like worked out a way of joining and talking.
Why are you breaking out of the beat right now?
Yeah, I feel like it's rude that he just doesn't answer any of my questions. I thought we were friends.
Maybe he's going through some stuff. I don't know.
It's gotta be. We're here for you, Pedro.
Maybe he didn't stack enough and now we're popping and he's sad. Pedro? Oh. Okay.
All right. So let's talk about, are there any projects coming up that you can talk about, or is it just this one that it's a mystery?
There's other projects too. I can't talk about. Oh, hold on. Is there something I can talk about?
Okay. Inflatable plushies for the beach. You want to have that plushie, but it's getting wet and the summer is coming. Inflatable little huddle. It's a huge little huddle that you ride around eating, drinking martinis and bathing your balls. No, that's too much. No, sorry. That's what some people do that. I don't know, some Bitcoiners. So inflatable glasses now in littlehuddle.com.
It's a great idea.
We could probably mention the partnership between Little Hodler and the yellow plushies that we're going to launch today, you know.
All right, Lena, You're famous for your Bitcoin technical analysis, so I'm hoping you would be able to give us a little idea of what where you think the all time the new all time high is going to be and when we can expect it.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. What? And your famous technical analysis skills. So
oh yeah,
you're on display.
I'm always ready. For it. it's gonna go up.
Right. And to what dollar? It's gonna go where?
A lot of dollars. I don't even care. Like I actually genuinely don't. No, that sounds so weird. That sounds so basic too. Like one BTC equals one BTC. Obviously, we're all happy, right? But I didn't. So I think I am on tape in France last year, where they asked a question saying like next year during the halving, what's gonna be the Bitcoin price? And I said like 36,000. So that's my technical analysis for you. I thought like, because during the last halving, it was low. And then the halving, when did it crash? It crashed before the halving, but it was low and then it stayed there and then it went up. So what's it gonna do now? I don't know. So now I would say, you know, after the halving, it's gonna go, but probably it's gonna crash and then it's gonna go, like it always does what you don't expect. So I try to anticipate the bad thing to trick the universe so it does the good thing. But then you can't trick the universe and the universe is going to trick you back. So I don't know. Yeah, that's my, I don't know. Whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen. It's going to go up.
It's going to take me a while to unpack.
I'm just keeping my eyes open.
What?
I'm keeping the whole thing.
Are you talking into a potato right now?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Kinda.
God damn it, what happened?
Oh, that's better. There you go. That was
what
it?
Did you say?
That was okay. No sound.
I'm having technical problems here. Are you kind of go along? Technical problems here. Nothing to see.
Nothing new.
This reminds me of when like your dad is like yelling into the phone and it's and you're so distorted and they think they're going to fix it by talking even louder.
That doesn't work.
I didn't know yellow was a boomer.
Of course he's a boomer. Look at him.
Yeah, of course. He's a Creed fan.
Singing now. All right, Rope, it's about the time of the show that we give out the Labrador scores. I'm calling on you today.
Oh, shit. I got to do the scores?
I'm going to got to do the
okay. Let's see. For Rusty, I'm going to give you 4 little hodlers and 1 yellow plushie. For yellow
ratio, I'll take that ratio. Yeah. I'll take it.
Wait! Is that like a reference to the couch meme?
God damn it! You nailed it.
Fuck you, Rob.
Oh, nothing gets by you, yellow. I was going to give you nothing as a score, but for that one, I'm going to give you a case of Red Bull because you caught that joke.
Yeah.
Let's see, Becca. Gonna give you another set of baby clothes.
Perfect.
Directly from Pedro's old stash, because I know he's got like at least 3 pallets full of just old baby clothes. Pedro, I'm gonna give you. And then Lena, you've done so great. I'm gonna give you a golden piano. Something like that. And then Greg, I'm gonna give you spelling lessons because you don't know how to spell.
Any metallic kind of piano sounds awful, man. What are you doing?
It's for show purposes. You could like smelt it down and sell it. It's that's, you know, and stack more Bitcoin with it. It's more of like a trophy. It's like something that you just get as an achievement. I know you wouldn't be familiar with that concept. So
violence
what?
On.
Can't say that after 100K then. He will have achieved.
Fuck you then, Rob. How about that?
given. Yeah, well, I don't everybody,
did you give Pedro a gift? Did you give Pedro?
I muted myself during Pedro's gift because he doesn't want to talk to us. So we'll just, you know, I know what I gave him, but yeah, no one else will ever know.
That's fair. That's fair. What do you think about that, Pedro? I guess he thinks it's fair too.
Pedro, so, I think next time I'm just going to start impersonating Pedro every time y'all ask him something and just go off the top.
All right, and since we don't have either of our resident Limeys, Rusty, you're my next best option. Can you go through the RD question for us this evening?
Sorry, someone tried to call me during that.
Like a name or on the phone?
Yeah, I assume.
Was it Pedro? Was it Pedro by any chance?
Yeah, Pedro.
RD.
Hello, hello, hello. How are we, Lena? Fancy a cup of tea? Fancy a cup of tea? Why are you shaking your head, Greg?
This is so funny. It's a good RD.
All right. Enough of that then. So, if the meme factory did exist, and we all know it doesn't, which one of us would you mute? Which one of us would you like? And which one of us would you retweet? And then, which one of us would you zap?
Zap as in send money?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Not like Taser, but like, yeah, send money.
Was it?
Totally changes the question, doesn't it?
What was the first one? Mute?
Which one of us would you like? Which one of us would you retweet? And which one of us would you mute? And then there's that.
I would, okay. Maybe if you mute Pedro, he's going to get, like, they cancel each other out. So he gets unmuted. Because I don't know what he sounds like.
Come on.
Wait, did we hear
him? Very,
you heard him.
He sounds very, right. Terrible voice.
Yeah.
Terrible
yeah,
voice.
You should hear Pedro's
yeah, the worst voice. Ooh. In Bitcoin.
He's all, like, nasally and, like, annoying.
Okay. And I would like, oh, but that's so mean, because then the ones
that's the
you
point.
Don't like,
go on.
Like,
that's the point. We enjoy it here.
Alrighty. I like Yellow because he's my friend now.
Hey.
I would get a I don't have a plushie from you. I would trade, maybe.
Okay.
I'll trade. All right, you send Yellow a little hodler, and then I'll send you a plushie. I'll send you a Yellow.
You send me? Okay, good. Thank you. And I would retweet. I don't know. What do you guys tweet?
Wreck.
Yeah, I'm sure you follow all of us.
I'm pretty sure I follow some of you, at least. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what your Twitter names are. I'm never getting invited again.
It's the Meme Factory. So yeah. There's your hint about what we tweet.
I'm sure I follow the Meme Factory. I would retweet the Meme Factory. I'd retweet all of you. There you go. It's wholesome.
That's cheating, but okay.
Well, that is why.
And I would zap whoever needs it the most.
Probably me to be.
I don't know. Becca's got a baby on the way. I'd zap Becca.
Ah, no.
I'm building my own little hodler right now.
Okay. You can play that card like
four weeks. Okay.
Amount of time within the day. Okay?
She shops for real estate in Switzerland in her spare time. Yeah, yeah. She needs. She's pregnant. Golly.
The guy is eating like some stuff. Rob is eating corn from a can in order to stack, okay? I think he needs it more.
Thank you, Yellow. I take back every mean thing I've ever said about you.
Why? Are you saying mean things about me? What the fuck? Why?
No. I just took them back. Not? I didn't say anything.
Damn it, Rob.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
And see.
Lena, all right, I want to make sure you have a minute or two to talk about any projects that you want the audience to be aware of that you're working on. I know this is stuff that you can't talk about. We talked about Little Hodler.
They're very cool.
Is there anything you didn't mention that you want to bring up?
I make plushies. I'm gonna make more plushies. I'm actually making a new comic book, but my app is broken. So whenever I fix that, then I'm gonna make a new comic book.
What app?
And then my drawing app. Oh. My PowerPoint is broken.
You still use PowerPoint to draw the comic?
No, I don't. Okay. Or maybe I should have, because my PowerPoint still works, but the other one's broken. But yeah, so actually that app, like, it worked perfectly fine. And then apparently they had a once in a lifetime bug, and it's Adobe, and Adobe has like 5 billion customers. So why does it break for me? Like, that's really not fair. Anyway, or they just have loads of bugs and they just pretend it's like, oh, that never happened before. But anyway, so when that's fixed, I'm going to make a new book. So then that it might still take a couple months, but then I'm going to do that. And I have lots of little printers. I have one little Satoshi left. This guy, he's almost sold out, and we only do him once a year. So there's that. And other than that, I do cool things that I can't talk about. But I also do like comics on my Twitter. I am not good at selling myself.
Fantastic. You're doing great.
You're doing great. All right, last question. Do you know what happens at block height 840,000?
What block height is it right now?
Yeah, sure.
Almost 840,000, like, you know, a month or so away.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Are you going to, like, are you going to...
It's something cool. It's a hint. Something? It's something cool. We can't talk about it.
You can't talk about it.
Something super cool is happening.
Is there a correct answer to this?
At 840,000 bucks, Bitcoin halves the issuance.
Oh!
It's okay. It's all right. Nobody would know that. It's very obscure and niche. Nobody would understand that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
After
an hour of shenanigans, he realized, oh yeah, that's a Bitcoin. So
maybe she can't talk about it because it's like she's got a little hodler coming out, like a half little hodler plushie, just so cut down the middle. It'd save you some money though.
Through the 5th, we will be having a celebration of the Bitcoin halving in El Salvador. It's the Bitcoin halving party. Want to make sure that you get your invite. So if you want to come, hit up Sean at this point. Let Sean know that you want to come to the halving party. We'll make it happen. We'll get little hodlers there. We'll have a good time. Are you coming?
She already accepted it.
Were you talking to your audience?
It's dramatic. It's a scene, right?
Oh, it's a bit? Okay, I'm sorry.
We were talking to you, Lena.
Yeah, we don't care about our audience. There's only like 10 people there.
No.
People should hit up Sean. I already hit up Sean.
So you will be
done. Don't hit on
Sean. Please don't hit on Sean.
Excellent.
I will be there. Sean said I could speak, but then Greg said no.
That's so, right.
Yeah.
Why?
Typical Greg.
I was texting Sean while the show was going, and it was kind of an off-the-cuff decision after how she performed this evening.
I didn't know it was happening. It just slipped my mind.
That's so mean, man.
I swear.
I'm proud of you, Greg.
Thank you. All right. Lena, thank you for spending some time with us this evening. Everybody who's watching or listening, thank you as well. Everybody have a safe night. Have a good time. Buy and hold your Bitcoin. Go see a little hodler. Buy yourself a yellow plushie. We'll see you guys at the halving party.
Is Pedro going to say bye?
No.
Right, yeah. At this point now, we hope he's been paying attention and that the stream stops is what we hope for. So there's like a few seconds here where we just kind of talk and... Yeah, it's a little awkward, but whatever.
And normally I sing in this segment, so let me take you higher. Okay, I'll stop. Sorry.
You stop then because you don't know any more lyrics. Is that is
your place where blind man sees?
And
what do you mean this time? Just cut it.